So first, I guess we can start from the album. It's All Smiles. It's the weekend after your album release. How are you feeling right now?
Pretty good. It's been a long weekend. Spent a lot of time kind of doing all the marketing, you know, seeing some friends, you know, see some people that helped me out with this record. So it's been a bit busy, but I'm happy that it's out. I'm really happy. People are receiving it well, you know. Just really good stuff.
Yeah.
But happy to tell, yeah.
And you've been preparing most of the album from Philippines, or how was it? How was the process of?
It was a lot of places, but yeah, I basically wrote and kind of conceptualized, shot the album in London, but then finalized the recordings out here in London. So, but I'm back in London now, you know. But yeah.
Okay. And so you've been in back in London for how long? A month or two?
Where, London? Yeah, just gotten back to London about last month. But I was in New York last October, just kind of like meeting some friends and whatnot. So I'm here in London right now. It's fucking freezing, man. I don't like it, but it is what it is.
So are you now like layering your fits when you go outside? How are
they? Oh, yeah, definitely. It's the only way to go. It's like, because I know this is Indonesia, right? Like, we almost share, in the Philippines, we share like the same weather almost all the time.
Yeah.
So this is like shitty. I don't like it. I never got used to it. And I don't think I'll ever get used to it. Just too cold, man.
And you have like some like go-to like coats or whatever when you go outside, because like you don't get have a chance to like wear your coats, right, when you're in the Philippines. How was it in London?
Nah, never.
Never. Okay.
I mean, there's some people that I'm sure there's some people who want to do it, and I know some people that do it.
Okay.
And I'm just like, hey man, that's on you. If you ever get heat cancer, whatever, one of those things, that's not on me.
And then, I read it. I think it sucks for you that you weren't able to perform your party, I guess, because you had a COVID. Like, so, like, you got that rescheduled to when, I guess, the release
party? Well, there's no official.
Okay.
There's no official date yet because, to be honest with you, it's been so hard to move around COVID because there's a lot of places, like, say, the UK that had just started doing shows again. It's kind of hard to book cool places, like, not, you know, some places that I would like to perform at or whatever. It's hard because everybody in the UK is kind of like back to normal. People are playing shows, there's a couple people touring, but it's like you gotta find the right time because everybody's trying to tour. So it's one of those things. But yeah, it's a big bumper that we have to cancel it, but I'm sure it's not the last, you know. We're trying to make another show for next year. So I'd say next year, but still no specific date. Hopefully, though, next year you get to tour the whole thing. But yeah, bummer. COVID. I started to get COVID. But I'm all better now. I'm like negative in my results now. So I'm perfectly fine.
So like from what I've seen from your recent music videos, you've been like going all out visually. And how are you planning to like translate that in your performances when maybe next year?
Honestly, just like pure energy. The thing with the album is I feel like it's hard to replicate that live. It's a very production based album. I'd say like if I was gonna do it live, I'd need like, you know, my whole studio on the stage. Yeah, but I'm not that kind of musician. I'd rather have live elements of it and just the whole energy of what it is. You know, you give the audience something to kind of go by with the music that they hear. So there's no crazy live. I'd say it's still kind of the same how I used to, maybe a bit more equipment. But I mean, it should be still fun, you know. It's not gonna be, it's not gonna be, all I'm saying is it's not gonna be like a whole different band setup. It's still gonna be the same, a little bit more creative and whatnot here and there. But yeah.
Okay.
What were you asking about the visual? You were asking something about the visuals.
I was asking about like how, what are you going to present the visuals that you got from your videos to maybe live, but yeah. Do you plan on doing something like that?
Yeah. There's gonna be some stage production. Say if you were a fan of my, you know, if the people were a fan of my old projects, I used to have this halo that I have in my videos. So I want to be able to bring that on tour with me. So that'll be nice.
Okay. So the last time you played live was probably when you were touring for R.I.P. No Sashi, right?
Last time I played live, you said?
Yeah.
No. The last time would have been 2019 December. So I would have had Crying in the Prettiest Place just then and till Talk Nice. So I think when I was last premiering Talk Nice, which is an old song of mine, it's like 2019. That's probably the last era I was performing live.
And back then you didn't have any of the songs that you have on the album now?
No. I had I Want You. I had I Want You on the record, but I didn't have anything that was finished yet that I could have performed live.
Album, I think I hear more R&B influence rather than the pop sound that I've been listening from your previous works. Like, what were your influence going into the album?
I kind of grew up. The first music I really discovered by myself was R&B, and before I got to any indie rock stuff, because that's what my peers were listening to, and I personally love them, like T-Pain. I still love T-Pain up to this day. The Dream, you know, Trey Songz, like I love all these people. Neo, you know, I still heavily listen to R&B. So, you know, with my past catalogs, and most of it has been like intentional pop writing, I really wanted to do something that was more R&B. And this was it. This was the outcome with what I wanted to do. Like, I just wanted it to be more like melodic and singing, because I feel like a lot of my past records more of like pop hooks, melodies, and kind of pop rapping. And this one would be like a bit more singing R&B. It's I haven't even fully stretched it out, but you know, this is like a bit of it. I still feel like I got more pipes. I feel like I got more pipes. I haven't gone 100% on the vocals yet, but yeah, that's without the R&B stuff, you know. I always just love that kind of music, and it was just about the time that I put out, you know, like with my past records, I got songs like 17. I think it's a very R&B song. I have All Up in My Head on my second EP. There's 145 that's a bit R&B as well. It's like garage R&B, but they're mostly like kind of B-sides. And so I wanted to do a full album. And yeah, so I did that.
So, yeah. Like, what was your headspace going to the album? Because like the theme is like there's obviously like sadness like as a major theme in the album, I guess. And yeah, I think you can talk. Would you like to talk about your headspace going into this album?
Yeah, it's not sad. I feel like there's nothing sad about. Like,
okay,
you know, I know it's a question. It's a question. I'm just like
explaining
it. It's your question, so don't think that I'm like, oh no,
the wrong question.
But technically, like for me, it's confessional rather than a sad topic.
Okay.
Like, it's like there's a lot of happy songs. Like when she comes around, it's pretty happy. It's like a closure song. You got A Place Where Nobody Knows, which is kind of a very sweet song between you and your significant other. And then you got Everything, and I'm talking about how the sun hits when the mood's right, you know. But it's definitely confessional. I feel like I wanted to do something that was hopeful in a way, but I'm still ranting because it's like, I feel like it's okay to talk about these things and have, as long as you have a conclusion to them. And most of the songs, I do have conclusion to them, like say, I Want You. It's like a song about, okay, I've made my decision. I'm waiting on you. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, that's not really, you know, it's not
okay.
Like,
Yeah.
So the whole theme of it for me was more like kind of confession. Like, it's like I'm telling some sort of stories, but they all have conclusions to it, I feel like. But yeah, definitely what I was going through, kind of a lot of wonky stuff. I was going in and out of relationships. I had just moved back to the Philippines again in so long. Because I haven't been there longer than a month, you know, in like 4 years. So it's not crazy long, but, you know, and I was staying at my parents and stuff. So it was a little bit like nostalgic because I haven't stayed there. So like, every time I'm back in the Philippines, I'm always like in a hotel or like Airbnb. I stayed at my parents for like I said, like a month, but never been like longer than a month. So, and I took the advantage of being out there to kind of see other places. So I lived in this place called Subic for 4 months, you know, and that's when I started working on the record. And that was also the start of lockdown. So, you know, there was a lot of emotions going through, as much as everybody else was going through. I feel like I just applied that to the record, all the kind of the anxiety and the tension, and like, oh, is the world gonna get any better? You know, I'm not gonna be able to see some friends. I'm lucky when I started the lockdown, I was living with some friends of mine, so that was good. But yeah, there was just like, it's a lot of like pandemic and then like kind of trying to find something beautiful within that. And those were like big inspirations that I was feeling during the record, or at least emotions that I was really going through. Yeah.
And I think you've always been open about like how you're feeling or about your emotions in all of your songs ever since you started. And this one being like a complete album, and like you said yourself, it has a confessional feeling along the album. Yeah. Like, does it take a lot from you, like getting all out there and then for all the people in the world to listen? Like, does it take a lot?
Yeah, 100%. Because I feel like at some point when you put out the music, it doesn't become yours anymore.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole purpose of it. That's the whole, like, you know, idea of putting a song out. Once you put it out, now you want people to judge it for you. You want them to say if they like it or not. And, you know, I write off of personal experience. I enjoy that. You know, it's not, it's partly gonzo and partly real, you know. There's some things that are like gonzo, like, you know what gonzo journalism is. It's like, basically inspired by real moments, and you've written something to it. And, you know, like, for example, a song like Remember November, which is on the album. And that was something my mom used to tell me. So the chorus is like something that she used to tell me when I was working in corporations before. I was working in like super corporate jobs. Oh. And it's also inspired by like a friend of mine who has a really bad boss.
Okay.
So it was like a conversation that kind of inspired that. She was just like ranting about how she hates her boss and how they don't treat her right. And, you know, it's one of those songs. It's partly gonzo, you know, like something inspires me. But like you said, I feel like it takes a lot of me. That's why I don't end up talking. I don't talk a lot. I don't talk about a lot of these, you know, like I talk about it to my therapist or whatever. And music for me is also kind of like therapy. Like, I enjoy sitting down like after a long day and writing a song, whether or not it's about that day or it's something else. So yeah, it does take a lot of me, but in a good way. I feel like it's more of like a big relief, okay, rather than like, oh, I'm like paranoid, like they're gonna know me or they're gonna see through me. Like, maybe I hope that'll be nice, you know. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's a good feeling. It's more of like a big exhale, you know.
Okay, and how has like BJ Burden and George Daniel been like influencing you to shape this album up?
Really good, man. Like, I don't think I would have gotten this far with the record if I never got in the room with them.
Okay.
So yeah, like BJ really set the tone with me on this album. Like, we both really just went head to head on what I wanted to hear on the record, and he made that come to life, you know. He has a very broad kind of portfolio, not portfolio, like stuff, mm-hmm, that, because like that's how we based off our work. I knew him through his work, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which was perfect for me, because like it's what I wanted to the album to become, you know, like this whole ambitious production and almost kind of like storytelling through the production. The things go up and things come down with the music. And with George especially, I feel like me and George have been working on music for ages, you know, ever since I got signed to 30 Hit. We just started working on records together, and it's because also we just click off right from the bat. Like, we just started to make music and we realized that we come from the same like inspiration. Like, we drive off in the same music that we listen to, and you know how we write music. And yeah, I really love being, you know, having him as like part of my brain on the record. It's always great for me to be able to work with him. He just knows what to do with like you know, some missing pieces that I feel like he could fill in. And that's definitely George. Like, he's so talented, man. Like, both of them, BJ, George, Sachi, and Alex, they also help me with the record. Sachi's from a band called Joy Again, and Alex is one of their homies. And yeah, lucky to have been met all of them, and we all got to work on this record together, just because it needed them to be on the record. You know, I don't think the record would have been what it is today if I never got the chance to work with them.
Okay. That's really nice, because yeah, you have your homies, and you have like someone that you have been looking up to for some time from their work, and then you get the chance to work with them. So yeah, it's exactly, really nice to have all of them in your debut album. Yeah,
yeah, it's just, I feel like, because I'm just either fans of them, or you know, I'm just fans of their music, whether or not they're my homies or not. I'm just like, I have high respect for their music, and I feel like we can work on something crazy together. So it's super awesome that I'm able to do that with them. Yeah, definitely. I'm a big producer guy. Like, I feel like it took time for me to finish this album because I wanted to find the right producer to work with. And I guess sonically, the ideas I had in my head were a lot different than what I had in front of me. Say that. Like, I wanted to, like, I've been talking about the album being something, I wanted it to be different than my old records, you know, that if some people came across knowing me from my old records, they'd be surprised, and I would also either lose or gain followers with this album. And that's kind of like what I wanted to do. It's like a bit of a conversational piece, something that was different from my old records. And if you go through my other songs, you'd be like, this sounds nothing like the album. So meeting them, meeting BJ and Sachi, you know, kind of brought me to that place. And having to be able to work with George brought me back to where it's supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So you have people like from the beginning, and then new people that gets a chance to shape this new sound that you're working towards. Yeah.
Yes, sir. So that's like the whole idea of it. Like, I wanted it to become still no Rome, and with the help of because sometimes in music, you can get lost if you're trying to make something new. I think that's why a lot of artists or musicians like to do side projects, because when you try to experiment something new, you end up being a little bit distant from what, say you have like a sound as an artist, you know, in that context. You kind of easily get lost with it. Like, if I made this record, I would have just went full and bad. You know, I could have had like a side project and this was the record, but having people who also were familiar with the work that I've done, like, you know, George, we were able to bring it back like vocally in the way we mix the vocals and the way we kind of deliver some of the electronic sounds on the album. So, yeah.
Okay. And you were talking previously about like how your sound has been, how you have been trying to like shift or maybe like change your sound into the R&B one that that we have in your new album. But regarding your like songwriting, like how far do you see yourself like from when you first started and to now? Do you think that you have been maturing more as a songwriter?
Oh, 100%. I feel like I'm growing every day, every year, actually, every project I release, I'm growing and learning, because like you get a lot of experiences throughout time. You meet more people, you have more experiences in life, you know what I mean? Like in the software you use, and the, you know, I also tried to learn more guitars, hence making a guitar album. Yeah, it's for me, I feel like I'm growing each release I do. And I'd like to keep it that way if I can keep growing. Because if it comes to a point where I'm not growing, I think that's, I have to quit music by then, you know?
never that. And then, like, how's your, like, I know that you have been, like, going in different places when you mm-hmm. worked in this album, but, like, How's the studio situation like? Like, do you have like a movie playing like in the studio, or like how is it like?
Yeah, that's definitely what the process is. But when I was writing this though, I had a studio in the Philippines, so I was locked down in the Philippines. So I kind of set up a little studio of my own in my apartment that I have in the Philippines. So I'd set up shop there, but yes, I'm playing movies. Sometimes there's people in the studios, most often not. I'm not the type of guy that like likes to throw parties in the studio. Like if I'm kind of working on music, I'd love to have minimal people there. It's because I get all over the place when I'm like working, and I just don't invite a lot of people sometimes to the studio. I know a lot of my peers, they usually like throw,
you they know, have a big camp and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a big like posse, you know, and you're doing like a session. I feel like if it wasn't COVID, I would have done that. But you know, it being COVID. And plus like I feel really comfortable working on music alone. So yeah. So that was the setup, and I just had like all of the equipment I had brought over from London, which wasn't much, but yeah. So I had all the equipment. I flew from London to Manila, set them all up in one studio, and just worked on the album.
Okay.
But yeah, that's definitely the vibe. It's always just like that, and I'm like, I have a lot of stuff that I have around the studio just in case like I don't want to be working that day, or at least I want to be listening to some tunes and I'm doing something else like painting. So I have like a little corner there where I do like spray painting and like just practicing, and a couple of video games. Mm-hmm. It's like, whenever I'm in the studio, it's like a lockdown thing. Like I'm like there 12 hours, you know. I'm said that once I got into like a comfortable spot, I'm just going in. Like I'm just like, okay, doing this, doing that, doing this. So yeah.
Okay.
We gotta keep the studio entertaining.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned painting, because like Arapi Indohisashi was in a way like a tribute, I guess, to the painter Hisashi Indo, and then he was painting like solid colors and all. And about It's All Smiles, like what do you think the color of the album is like? Do you have that?
Yeah, definitely. It's a red.
Okay,
like there's a lot of reds in the video. There's a lot of red tones in the video. It's red and blue, blue being my favorite color, and I think blue just kind of stands for like emotion. Like if you say blue, it's like It's like emotional. Such an emotional color. It's either calming or sad. So it's it's one of the two all the time. And then red is for kind of a, this energy, you know, like either it's a very, it's associated whether or not it's like dangerous or aggressive energy or something sensual or moody, you know. So it was like red or blue palettes that I had in my head, and we were able to incorporate that in the videos as well, which was perfect because I love doing that stuff. Like what you said with RIP and Dosashi, like I've always kind of commemorated it to visual pieces or like visual ideas. So, you know, like RIP in Dosashi was referenced to Isashi Endo, which was a painter who did the same thing for two months. He was just painting the same canvas black, and it started to become its own piece. So this one's kind of different than that, though. I feel like this one was kind of like sat down and focused on. But yeah, visually, though, that is the piece.
Okay. So with your music, do you plan on like doing the same thing, kind of like with... You're honing in on your R&B sound like over and over again in the future, and then there's going to be like your signature sound from there, like a more distinct one, like after you do the R&B stuff in maybe your future projects and all that. Like, do you see that? Even though you already have your unique sound now.
So, sorry, can you what was the question?
Oh, like in reference to Isashino, where he paints like the same color, the same painting all over again, and then there's a shape coming up from those paintings, right? And then do you kind of plan to do that with your R&B, where you hone in on your like R&B sound over and over again, and then there's this new like signature No Room sound coming up from that like a more signature sound in the future? Do you see something like that happening?
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal. I, you know, kind of making this new sound my own and working on from that, because it feels like it's almost like a new chapter of my music, or like new era. And it's like a conscious decision as well. So I do feel like it'll come around to that. You know, it's a conscious decision. Like it'll come around to that again at some point. But most definitely, like I feel like it's just right, because I've naturally it's gonna come out, and the more time I spend looking at my old catalogs, you know, and then looking at my new stuff, it'll always make me feel like, okay, it's time to apply some old stuff that I used to run with and make it like my own new thing with the R&B stuff. So definitely.
Okay. And then like as a person coming from the Southeast Asia, and then being able to work with your idols in London, and then under a big label like that, like, do you still get starstruck when you meet like people that whose work you've been listening to for years, and then like, damn, I'm going to meet this person or that person? You still get starstruck?
I get shy. I get shy more than I get starstruck.
Okay.
I'm not being a dick, but I feel like I never got starstruck.
Okay.
Ever. Okay. I don't know why. I'm still waiting on the day I get really like, I'm starstruck is like when you really can't, it's like you're not yourself. The person, you know what I mean? And luckily that hasn't happened to me. I do want to experience that. I feel like there's only a couple people that I feel like I might get starstruck. I do get shy though, like especially if it's somebody that I've been listening to for a long time. Like I get a little shy, like, I've been listening to this guy ever since I was a kid. I just met like Bon Iver.
Shit, how is that?
You know, a total legend. Like I met him, and I almost got a little bit starstruck, but he's such a humble and sweet guy, and just like a legend, you know.
Yeah.
So that was like inspiring, but. Yeah, I get shy. I get shy still. Because I'm such a music fan, you know. So I'm such a music fan that even if I heard somebody who's like a bit more niche or whatever, it's just as long as it's somebody like I truly respect, I get a little bit like, hey man, you know, I really love your stuff.
Yeah. Funny stuff, like the last concert that Alia and I went to in early 2020 was Bon Iver, and we cried our eyes out the entire night. It was
I bet.
It was magical. Like. Yeah. Do you still have like this Mount Rushmore of people that you would like to work with in the future? Like, I know you just released an album and you would like to like promote that and all, but like in the future, do you still have this Mount Rushmore of people that you would like to work with?
Yeah, I'm a big collaboration fan. I feel like collaboration is such a like necessity in music, and there's some people that could definitely just do it on their own, and then there's some people that also really sound good whenever they collaborate. So I enjoy collaborating with people. I want to work with a lot of people, and I even want to work with a lot of like groups and whatnot. Like, I think that's what I'm trying to do after kind of promoting this album, and I get some downtime. Mm-hmm. To work on something that's outside my music.
Okay.
I want to work with like K-pop groups or Southeast Asian like pop groups, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I'm talking about pop groups. That's like my goal next year. Okay. So I really want to be able to do that, like you know, work with like big songwriters and get in the studio with a famous pop group and just make songs with them. Yeah, but specifically there's I want to work with peers, you know, with friends. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, I always want to keep working music with them, even the people that I've worked with before. Mm-hmm. I still want to keep making music with them, like Beebadoobie, like Bareface, you know, Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I still want to be able to make more music with them eventually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's start manifesting the names into reality, right?
Like, yeah, for sure. I want to work with, if we're manifesting at this point, like,
yeah.
I want to work with like Blackpink, you know what I mean? Like,
that's it.
Yeah, Blackpink, bro, like, get it in.
Yeah,
I love
okay. them. Like, who's your favorite like Blackpink member?
Ooh, we getting onto that. Changes. I think I'm it changes. On the changes, you know. I think I'm on Rosie. Jenny's always been my number one. What do you call it? Bias.
By your bias. Your bias, yeah.
So Jenny's always been like my number one bias. Uh-huh. Like musically, it's just because, like, you know, her voice is really good. She put out a solo album, mm-hmm. called a solo song. Called Solo.
Yeah. Solo, yeah.
That was, yeah, she had like some Lorde vibes on it. It was pretty sick. Like a little bit like Lorde, Taylor Swift-y vibes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just, I just love him. Like, I almost got the chance to meet him in Coachella back in 2019, but yeah. You know, you have too much fun. Let's just say in Coachella, I had too much fun that I didn't get a chance to meet them when they were outside my trailer. You know, they were outside the 1975's trailer. They were like talking. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I had too much fun and I didn't really get to talk to them. Next time, though, I really do hope I get to.
Yeah. But it's good that you at least had fun. So you didn't have time to like network and all that. At least you had fun.
Yeah. No, if I did network at the time, I feel like it would have turned out to be different.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I would have been like, they would have been like, oh yeah, that Rome guy, he's like messy. No, but kidding aside, like I do want to be able to you know, meet him and work with him again at some point. And like, you know, groups like that, like I feel like my new ambition is to kind of like branch out to that kind of music, to that kind of world where it's like really collaboration between writers. You know, there's a lot of writers in the room, there's a lot of production people in the room, because that's kind of like how those things usually work. Like, mm-hmm. it's like a bunch of people in one room making a song together to present to the world, and the whole idea is to present it to the world, you know. So I want to be involved in that at some point.
Yeah, and probably like once you get those experiences, then maybe the next few No Dome project would be like in a very big camper, like the same process maybe.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I would love to be able to do something like, you know, like a Kanye West experience, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily do it in the way like how, you know, say One Direction used to operate or whatnot, but more on like a Kanye West vibe, into which like I have a lot of people around me and we're all working on one project together. Mm-hmm. It's like 10 people, you know, 10 people in one studio, and everybody's like working and everybody's super busy. Like, definitely, I would love to experience that at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I'm on my last question here, I guess. So now that the album is out, and you said it before that once it's out, it can belong to like other people as well, like the experiences and all and the songs and the meanings and all that. But now that it's just really released like last week, how do you think It's All Smiles, how do you think someone should listen to It's All Smiles, like in what setting, like where,
World War II, you're sitting down having coffee. No, I'd say honestly, it's a project top to bottom.
Okay.
It's a project you listen to from
the top entire to thing. Bottom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's like it's there's some songs there that are meant to be like something for the album. It's one of those things. You remember when people used to make like there's like transitions or whatever to the next song, and every song was like put there in a place for a reason. So It's All Smiles is like that. So I do like for people to listen to it as an album. You know, it's a top to bottom kind of thing. Late at night, maybe, probably. Doesn't really have to know specific time of day. Mm-hmm. And no emotion. I feel like it's one of those things that it's just like, it's music for music's sake, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a play on production and a couple on really catchy melodies. And I did that intentionally. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it's all intentional. That's why I'm trying to finish this next record as well, because it's supposed to be two different worlds.
Wait, but, so you're on to the next one now?
I'm really trying. Like I've been telling most interviews about it, so I really do hope.
Okay.
You know, it all depends on. Like right now, I'm telling to you right now because I'm in such a good place in that project. Mm-hmm. But then next year, I'm just like, oh my god, I want to replace all these 10 songs with new ones, you know? and it happens quite a lot to me. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I'm working on this next record, so I do hope like I finish it next year in time, and mm-hmm. I get to present it. But you know, right now I'm focused on It's All Smiles. I'm happy, but yeah, that's kind of like how I want people to listen to that. That's how I want people to understand what the album is, and it's something that is like a production based album, and mm-hmm. it's something that focuses on that. You know, but mm-hmm. not that alone, but there is a big chunk of that on the album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the setting is like in your room at night, maybe with speakers or at with headphones? Maybe.
I'd say headphones. Put on some headphones. Mm-hmm. If you got really good speakers, you can still listen to them with those really nice one, you know, the ones that go the Bluetooth device. It's really good. Do you guys have that?
Very Asian thing, yeah.
Yeah, hey, they sell that here in the UK too. It's funny. I just bought a speaker the other day because I went to my friend's house and we wanted to listen to some music, but nobody had speakers, so we bought like these super cheap speakers down the street.
That was some janky stuff.
Yeah, it's one of those. If you have a little bit, if you put it on like 4 bars.
Mm-hmm.
on your phone or like 5 bars, it's gonna blow up.
but you
can even have that listen to the album, but I suggest headphones maybe so you can hear everything, because mm-hmm. if you put it on that, it might just be a bunch of like noise, random noise. But yeah, definitely headphones. You're lying down in bed, you got nothing to do for the rest of the day. top to bottom. It's a short album. It's 27 minutes. You know, it's not too long. And I did that on purpose. Yeah. A little attention span music. It's one of those ones.
Okay, then. So it's All Smiles by No Room. In stores now. Buy it. Stream it. Especially buy it, yeah? So that you support.
Especially buy it, please.
And then
buy it so I can pay my rent.
That's it. And while you guys listen to the album, No Room is working on the next one. There's no breaks for No Room, right? So, yeah. Thank you for that time. Really enjoyed talking to you. Yeah.
But thanks for having me. Really. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, No Room.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Nice to meet you.
Bye.